Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we praise you for your great and wonderful power. We thank you for your saving work. Father, thank you for sending your Son. And we praise you, Lord Jesus, for sending forth the Spirit, and that all nations have been hearing the gospel over the last 2,000 years, and that you have gathered your people to yourself, and that in history you have included us. Thank you for gathering us here this evening to celebrate your victorious death and resurrection and the incredible transformation that has happened in our lives, where our eyes have been opened to our sin and we've seen you as the one and only treasure, the one and only source of life, our only hope of escape from the righteous judgment of God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the peace that you have purchased for us, that you have reconciled us to your Father, who now we call our Father. Almighty God, we pray that you would bless the work of this congregation. We pray for the work of the scripture teaching in this area, in the Lower Blue Mountains. We ask that young lives might be touched by you, that seed might be sown in their young hearts, and that they might be drawn to Christ through the things they've learned in years to come. They might, Lord, be drawn to you. Encourage the scripture teachers as well. It's a work of faith. They don't see the results that may happen years later. We ask you now, Lord, that you would bless the work of this local congregation. Continue to bless Lawrence in his work. And Lord, grant to this congregation all that's needed for the work that they do for themselves, amongst themselves, and those around in the community. We pray for our brother Victor, that, Lord, you would bless the word that he proclaims might be a strength to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. It is wonderful to be in fellowship with you. Thank you for welcoming us to the Lord's table. We are indeed one body. I take the opportunity to bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters in Murph's Fields. The closest field to you is Indonesia, and that's become one of Murph's largest fields, and it's growing. Now we have ministry there in 6 different languages, and it's wonderful to see the progress of the gospel among Muslim people, also in Pakistan, where the church is small and struggling, but it is slowly growing. But the number of believers in Iran is growing by leaps and bounds, but they do need a lot of teaching. And bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters in the Middle East, in Palestine, in Jordan, in Syria, in Lebanon, Iraq. There are single congregations in the Gulf states of Oman, Bahrain, Qatar, Kuwait, several congregations in the United Arab Emirates, and lots of Reformed believers in Ethiopia, in some in Kenya, and many more in Sudan and in Egypt. And we have a small congregation also as far west as Morocco. We're thankful for that. And it gives me much pleasure to fellowship with you. Please turn with me now to the 24th Psalm. And let's remember that this is not man's word, but the life-giving word of the living God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It's a Psalm of David. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. Maybe I should lower this a little. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. God's word, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God abides forever. And it is the will of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that we receive his word with believing hearts. Brothers and sisters, sons and daughters, this is a wonderful psalm that must have really encouraged David a great deal. It doesn't begin by a word of encouragement, even though it begins where the Bible begins and ends where the Bible ends. It begins, of course, with the fact that the Lord created all things and he upholds all things by the word of his power. But he created all things before man, his special creature, the only creature that received the likeness and the image of the Creator. The Holy Spirit breathed into that which God formed with his own hands, and he became a living soul, receiving the very breath of the Holy Spirit. But there is a problem. It's a very special creature. All things were created for him, prepared for him. But something happened. Sad things happened, destroying, corrupting that soul, that image of the living God. So man lost that connection with God, lost fellowship with his holy, gracious Creator. And David knew that. David experienced that. A question, several questions are asked here to alert David and to alert all of us to the fact that we are indeed separated from the Holy God.
Who is qualified to ascend into the presence of the Holy God? Who is qualified to be with him, to have fellowship with him? And David knew that he is not qualified, because look at the qualifications. We are told here, he who has clean hands. You know what that means? You have never done anything wrong. I could not say that. And certainly David could not say that. And you could wonder what David thought about what he did. He even murdered. Brothers and sisters, there is another question. Who then is qualified to ascend to the Lord, to be in the presence of the Lord? You must have a pure heart. You know what that means? I know it very well. You must not have desired anything wrong. Can you say that about yourself? I can't. And certainly David couldn't. The third thing, you must not have lifted up your soul to what is false. Lifting up the soul is an act of worship. Now, you and I do not have Old Testament type of idols that we have before us. We make with our own hands and worship, but we have idols. We have lots of idols. Idols that take our attention. Idols that we commit ourselves to. Idols that take all our devotion. And David knew that too. And finally, we who seek to approach the throne of the Lord, the Holy God, must not have made a promise we could not keep. David and I made promises we could not keep. I promised the Lord repeatedly that I would not sin. And I struggle with sin all the time. That's why we pray every day, forgive us our sins. We think wrong things. We say wrong things. We do wrong things. In fact, when we ought to do that which is good and we don't do it, and think that which is good, and desire that which is good, and we do not do, that is also sin. And David experienced that. You could see that David here was in a desperate state of affairs. He desired to be close to the Lord. He desired to draw near to the Holy God, but he was not qualified. And what a wonderful thing that the Holy Spirit opened his eyes to see that there is a way. He looked, and what did he see? He saw somebody that is qualified. In fact, he's so qualified that he could bring with him a whole, with his righteousness, a whole generation that's called the generation of the God of Jacob, the people of God. Jacob, of course, is Israel. And we know from the New Testament that the Israel of God is the new creation, shaped after the new man. We sang about this, receiving the very the very new image that comes through the new Adam, the Lord Jesus. So David saw this one coming from battle as king. And of course, when a king comes triumphant from battle, he experienced that. The gates of Jerusalem would open up for him. The trumpet sound, and those in charge of opening the gates, they open the gates. And he calls those gates that block our way from the presence of the Holy God. They are formidable gates. They are ancient. They are there, unshakable. But then comes the righteous one, the new Adam. God in the flesh. You cannot do it. You read about that in Isaiah 59. In his own arm brought salvation to himself. And his righteousness upheld him. That's the righteous one we have here. Righteousness that would be imputed to those that belong to the victorious king. What happens? There he stands, righteous, holy, but condemned as a guilty one. And he dies on the cross. But he dies as the perfectly sinless one. He never desired anything wrong. He never thought anything wrong. He never said anything wrong. He never did anything wrong. And he never broke his word. He covenanted from before time to be our Redeemer. And even when he faced the most formidable temptations on the cross, you can do it. Even when he faced the fact that as the righteous one, he would take our sin on himself, the temptation was remarkable. Come down. He wouldn't come down. There comes the one who conquered sin. He conquered the spirit of the world. He conquered the evil one. And he conquered the last enemy of all, death itself. He comes. Yes, he is the triumphant king. And you could see the order that comes. Get out of the way. Because on the cross, as he gave his last breath, what happened to that which separated us from the Holy of Holies? That curtain that tore from top to bottom. Heaven was opened. And Jesus became the door, the gate. He could say, I am the way, I am the door. Come through me. Cling to me. You come with me, you can enter. And you see, who is this King of Glory? The Lord. Strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. There is no one like him. And you could see, you could imagine what happened to David. Things changed with David. Because this is the one that was promised, the seed of woman. The seed of woman. That line, the one coming as the lion coming from the tribe of Judah. Shiloh, yes, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, David, all the way. The gospel describes to us that in verse 17, after you see the list of three sets of 14 generations in the gospel of Matthew, three sets of 14 generations, from Abraham to David, 14 generations. From David to the exile, 14 generations from the exile to Joseph and Mary and David and Jesus, 14 generations. And that's it. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's the one promised to come through the line of Abraham, who would bless all families of the earth. That's why the question is asked again. Who is this King of Glory? Notice the answer is not the Lord strong and mighty, but the Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. Because as he enters, he does not enter empty-handed, but he enters with a whole bunch of people. That's Jacob. That's the Israel of God. That's a new creation. You read about that at the end of Galatians. Galatians 6 at the end there. The new creation, the Israel of God. From every tongue, from every tribe, from every kindred, and from every nation. Brothers and sisters, what a wonderful thing that really uplifted the soul of David. And David could cling to him. Like Abraham, he longed for the day of Jesus, and he saw and rejoiced. And you and I are far more blessed. You know why? Because they only had even John the Baptizer, the greatest of all prophets, the seal of all prophets. They could only see glimpses. But you and I, they could only see that the Lord has prepared something. But you and I know the whole details. We have the whole of the gospel. What a blessing it is. That's why Jesus said, the least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptizer, the greatest of all prophets. You know why? Not because we are greater than him, but what we are blessed with is far, far clearer. We see it all fulfilled, and we experienced it. We are in a battle. And the battle is led by the one who says, all power is given to me in heaven and on earth. This is not a maybe. Those gender people, they're not going to win. This so-called liberal, new liberalism, those anti-family, those who are anti-family and anti-godliness, those people are losing. Do not be discouraged. You have the triumphant one, and your name is there. You see, he went in. You read about that in Revelation chapter 5. He alone was qualified to take the title deed. He paid for us. Our names are there. Our name, if you cling to Jesus, this means your name is there. And you can be sure, you can be certain. That's why missions is not about the maybe. It's not about possible. Missions is about the power of God in the gospel. And it draws people. And the Holy Spirit seals the blessings of Christ to those that belong to him. Hallelujah. Let's pray. To you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, belongs glory, majesty, and praise. Amen. I will not be long. I already brought to you greetings, and I hope to leave some time for a couple of questions. But maybe first, if we can see the video.
The early 1970s, three young people formed the original nucleus of MRF. They were inspired by the great reformers who called the church back to God's word. They also praised God for the work of the faithful 19th century pioneer missionaries, who translated the Bible into modern Arabic and established churches throughout the Middle East. From the beginning, MRF has worked with and through existing churches to reignite commitment to scriptures and the historic Reformed faith. It seeks to arouse a healthy evangelistic zeal to plant new, sound congregations and strengthen existing ones. The backbone of MRF's vision and strategy was, and remains, to provide in-depth biblical training to national church workers, equipping and supporting them for ministry among their own people in Arab and other Muslim lands. After Beirut was destabilized by war and insecurity in the 1970s and 80s, MRF was reorganized, with a ministry center and headquarters on the nearby Mediterranean island of Cyprus. Encouraged by MRF's vision and indigenous strategy, gradually growing numbers in the region and in other parts of the world joined these efforts. MRF is now blessed with gospel ministries in many Arab and Muslim lands. MRF's fourfold, interwoven ministries are evangelism, church extension, biblical training, and diaconal aid. They are carried out with unwavering faithful commitment to scriptures and the historic Reformed confessional standards. The approach of training and equipping faithful local believers to serve their churches has proven to be a prudent strategy. For this, MRF has established local training centers in several countries. National workers are solidly grounded in the scriptures to work under the oversight of local churches. Costs for their support at local financial levels are significantly less than for foreign missionaries. Also, they know their people's language and culture and do not require resident visas or work permits. Unlike foreigners, they can do much work without attracting the attention of hostile governments or dangerous Islamists. MRF specializes in using the media to reach Muslims. This began with radio broadcasts and printed literature in Arabic. Arabic is the official language of Islam. Over time, other major languages and internet-based ministries were added, as the work expanded to reach the majority of Arab and Muslim lands, including unreachable nations, such as Saudi Arabia and Iran. The Lord has blessed MRF with fruitful ministries in Arabic and a dozen other languages in the Middle East, North and East Africa, Pakistan and Indonesia. As well as growing online evangelism and Bible instruction, MRF supports local churches, pastors, evangelists and others to carry out church extension projects and gospel-centered ministries, including diaconal aid to persecuted and ostracized converts and other needy believers. You can learn more and sign up for monthly prayer updates at www.mrf.org.
If you're
well, actually, seeing that short video, I want to urge you to share it with others. You can put it on a memory stick and share it with others. Just like believers in Eastern Arabia do, mostly Shiites, they download the Arabic Bible, either PDF or audio, and they save it on a memory stick and circulate it around. You know, they are very cheap now. You can get a whole bunch of them for $1 or $2 or something. And so we are not, MRF is not an organization that is high powered. We don't have anybody to raise money who are paid to do promotion. It's mostly done by volunteers. And we're thankful for that because and we say three things. Faithful, that's we are faithful to the historic faith, the scriptures, and the Reformed faith. We see faithful, fruitful. The Lord is blessing. It's not because of us. But we happen to be at the right time in the direction, in the directing under the guidance of the Lord. And the Lord is bringing about fruits. We are really blessed with so much fruit. Lisa and I never imagined to see what the Lord is doing in Iran, in Arabia, in Algeria. I mean, we have a team leader in Morocco. His name, we don't publicize that, but his name is Mohammed. In fact, I was just exchanging with him text about the earthquake, and we hope to provide from MRF's emergency fund some funds to help with the converts there in Morocco. But you see, it is the Lord's work. Faithful, fruitful, and cost-effective. We have 22 staff in Locate Chogyu, and they cost less than one American missionary.
and they don't need to learn the language. They do not have to struggle with a work permit. And some of them are quite effective. You think about Turkana evangelist. His name is Francis. And what an active fellow. He was trained there in Lokochogyu. And he's very eager these days. He wants to be on FM radio in the Turkana language. I have a weekly short messages, like 8, 7, 8, 10 minutes. And he likes to have the text and translate that into Turkana. It's always, there is a gospel there. Well, that's how the Lord is at work. In Muslim lands are really shaken. They never had what they are having today. They are exposed to all kinds of things that they were not exposed to before. They were not allowed to hear things. Now, the internet, the genie is out of the bottle. The internet, which has a lot of terrible things, Pastor, right? Well, the internet, just like radio, had a lot of terrible things. The internet is now what a means the Lord has provided to penetrate places like Iran and Saudi Arabia and Tunisia and Morocco and Libya and Indonesia, Pakistan, and so on. You know, we used to struggle to smuggle Arabic Bibles into believers in Arabia. And we had a couple of brothers who were diplomats, believers, one from Singapore and one from Lebanon. And they smuggled Arabic Bibles and they stored them in Riyadh. At one time, we had more than 600 there, but it was difficult, unsafe. It takes a long time to be able to trust somebody and give him an Arabic Bible, but now we don't need to do that. It's all on the internet. They cannot stop it. Bras, praise the Lord, yes. And so the other thing, of course, is that now they are able to say, I want to choose for myself. And of course, if the Holy Spirit liberates them, if the Holy Spirit gives them new life, they choose Christ, right? Well, that's exactly what happens. When you hear the story of a convert in Yemen, what a wonderful thing to talk to brothers and sisters in places like Yemen and Iraq and Iran and Syria and so on. These people testify to the fact that it's the Lord who squeezed them. Terry and I in the car talk about my son. I have my oldest son. He is totally out of the ways of the Lord. But we believe that the Lord can squeeze him, even through suffering. So, brothers and sisters, we are living in special days. Yes, days in which the gospel is penetrating. Somebody asked me about persecution of Christians in Arab and Muslim land, and you know what I told them? There is no now persecution against the church and against Christians in the West more than among Muslims. Yes. I am afraid one of these days I will have one of those gay couples coming to me and saying, we want to have a blessing in the church. I don't perform official weddings anymore. I send them to the town hall. But they come and we have a service for them, a blessing. And I'm afraid they'll come to me and they say, I cannot do it for you. Then they might go to court, the European court now, courts, to charge me. Well, it has not happened because Cyprus is predominantly Greek Orthodox and they have not been able to pass it through the parliament. So, but there are people like that facing that in the Netherlands. Some of you are from the Netherlands. Some of you are from, look at what the church is like in Scotland. What a,
The church persecutes people who are faithful to the gospel in Scotland. Well, we are living in special days, but the Lord Jesus has all things in his hands. Well, I will stop here if you have a couple of short questions.
Victor,
yes.
Is there any diaconal aid in the workings of Murph at the moment?
Yes, we have at present continued to do diaconal aid in Syria through Lebanon. The Western sanctions do not allow us to send directly to Lebanon, but we do it through the churches, directly to Syria. We do it through Lebanon. And we work through three or four Reformed churches in the northwest of the country, where the earthquake had devastation that impacted believers. And now, just now, we have this challenge. We have to be careful. MRF is not a relief organization. We do not want to be distracted. We if you go to the website, you will see what MRF does in diaconal. There are certain biblical principles we follow, and the main thing is it has to be in conjunction with the ministry of the word. So, and we have priorities. The first priority is believers, and then those who are covenant Christians, not yet believers, then especially converts, they take priority because they suffer a lot. But you want to be careful not to make them dependent on aid. You need to teach them to be ready to help others, to become self-sufficient and support others. I hope I answered your question. Yeah. Any other question?
Sorry, Victor.
Yes.
Have you always been a Christian?
Yes, I grew up in a nominal Reformed family. My father was a Presbyterian. He comes from a good Presbyterian stock. My great grandfather, his grandfather, was one of the first Presbyterian elders in Egypt.